Chapter 8. Speaking of special occasions. As we get older, there is something that we know we have to do in our lives from time to time. Even just thinking of it makes us nervous. That is, making a ceremonial speech. Particularly because it becomes part of a significant ritual, marking an event, we often feel special responsibility to accomplish it well. Our nervousness and our desire for success combine to make the project seem even more difficult than the other types of communication. Yet the ceremonial speech survives because it puts the focus on social activities which are vital to our successful coexistence in communities and which mark certain milestones in our lives. I've taught English speech at the college level for a number of years and find the ceremonial speech assignment fun, both for me and for the students, because they can be as creative as their imagination allows. Some examples of this type of speech are commencement addresses, after-dinner speeches, company annual reports, nomination speeches, acceptance speeches, eulogies for famous people, and conference keynotes. Some students have chosen one of these, and others do their own original projects. I usually encourage my students to invent a situation. In the past, one of them pretended to be the new Prime Minister of Japan and gave a general policy speech, or Shoshin Hyome. Another student made a recommendation speech for Mickey Mouse as a candidate for President of the United States. Once they decide on their topic for the ceremonial speech, they have to be sure to include the appropriate general characteristics of that type of speech. Let us look at examples of these requirements or guidelines. Speeches at meals that we share on special occasions are very common, so let us consider, first of all, the after-dinner speech. The speech is usually funnier and lighter than other types of speeches, even when it deals with a serious point. It should not be long, 15 to 20 minutes maximum. At the same time, the speaker should adapt it to the audience and to the purpose of the meeting. The speech should use common sense, no distasteful jokes, and where possible, should use self-deprecation as a source of humor. It's always nice to include episodes of past successes of the group. Keynote speeches, which are given at conventions or conferences, have the goal of setting the tone and getting the participants excited about the event. The keynote speech need not be laden with facts, but can rely on traditions. The theme is the most important thing in a keynote speech. A speech with particular emphasis on the use of beautiful language is the eulogy. In a eulogy, which can be more poetic than other types of speeches, there is a statement of loss or grief, to extend sympathy, and a mini-biography of the deceased. The speaker should emphasize the person's virtues and finally should suggest how the person will be remembered. At the funeral ceremony for Princess Diana, many people referred to her commitment to the anti-landmine campaign and argued that we should continue to fight against landmines in her honor. Finally, let us look at the acceptance speech, used when receiving an award or accepting a nomination to a position. The speakers should first thank the group in charge. Then they should mention how important the award is to them, without sounding self-congratulatory. It is important also to show humility by thanking the people who helped the speakers. Another necessary item in the speech, if it is one accepting a job or position, is an explanation of the speaker's planned goals. In the final analysis, the ceremonial speech represents a formal, special occasion. Since style and language are important for ceremonial speeches, it may be helpful to analyze past speeches of the same type. You'll find this kind of preparation gives you an opportunity to reawaken your store of vocabulary that is not used regularly in everyday situations.